Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
And he just dumps it off for a first down.
Throws it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley. The legend of Josh Rosen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State. Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game.
Optional. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're good out there enjoying the day. Want to thank Ben Lee for helping out, just getting things started on for us. Brandon Johns is in the house. Got stuck behind a train. Tends to happen every now and then. Hope everybody's good. SEC basketball was on the table last night. Ben Lee is walking out of the room right now. I told him to sit down. You know what I mean? I did. You know, he can talk all he wants, you know, about SEC hoops, and I would love to get his opinion. To cut this man's mic on.
I will say that, you know, Brandon, if you get over here a little bit earlier, you might not get caught by that train every day.
Oh, God. Here we go. Okay, that's it. Cut his mic.
I got caught yesterday.
Cut Ben's mic.
Today I had work, and then I got out of there late.
Throwing down.
I had a real job to do. Sorry.
Yeah, there you go. Ben just laying down the hammer. Ah, we're here. It's Thursday. We're almost getting into the weekend. Have some SEC basketball on store for us coming up. Last night, there was some good games. Vanderbilt, South Carolina was good. Coaching staff news, Charles Kelly, according to footballscoop.com, will remain at Tennessee and not be taking the Maryland job. We'll get into that today. I find that pretty interesting. Josh Vitale from the Montgomery Advertiser covers the Auburn Tigers basketball team and football. He's going to join us today. Right around 120, we're going to talk SEC hoops with him. Auburn had a big win last night in College Station against Texas A&M. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to get a landscape of the SEC and where we're at right now with Tennessee sitting atop. Man, they're atop of so many stats. Sitting at right now, Tennessee is sitting number one in three top categories when it comes to statistical leaders in the SEC. So they are rolling on. Like I said, there's coaching stuff going on. We'll take your phone calls. There's NFL championship games this weekend. Number to call in here on the McKinney Team Hotline, 865-546-8200. You call in. We'll talk about anything and everything. Doesn't matter to me today. At 2:15, we're going to have our man Mike Johnson joins us. You guys know him. Played for Nick Saban. Played at Alabama. Covers the SEC. Want to get his insight into the coaching turnover that's going on in Tuscaloosa right now. Because there's a lot. 12 coaches in the last 2 years. 6 coaches officially now are changing positions and leaving Alabama. Possibly, maybe even another. We'll see. Could that affect Tennessee? It might. There's some coaches out there that are looking around. I've heard Chris Rump's name be linked into another SEC school. Talk about that and a lot more today as we continue going on. My producer, my man, Brandon Johns is here. Brandon, what's up, buddy?
Not a whole lot, Trey. How are you?
I'm all right, man. It is what it is. Okay, I did get a nice episode in of This Is Us last night before bed. That was delightful. I don't know if you've ever watched that show before.
No.
I swear to God, if you hate on that show, I'm going to
I don't
come
even know
there.
What that, like, no.
You don't know what that show is?
No.
All right, I'm going to say the
is
show.
Is it on Netflix?
I'm going to say the if show not, over one more time. This is us.
Yeah. No, I heard you.
So depressing.
Based on your movie choices, I don't have a whole lot of faith. I don't have a whole lot of faith in your television choices.
This is us. Like this is us. Ben's. I think Ben's seen it. Cut Ben's mic on. Ben, have you seen This Is Us?
Oh no, I actually haven't.
God bless. You know what it is, though, right?
No.
Your girlfriend hadn't sunk you into watching This Is Us. I mean, what the hell? Why am I the only one here? Okay. All right. Well,
can you give us a? Okay, a concept, it's other than just saying, this is us.
No, I thought it was worldwide trending. I mean, it's a show out there that, you know, there's it's a family, you know, that they're all going through different trying times. It follows them everywhere.
I just pulled it up.
It's on NBC.
See, women like that show.
Oh, I swear to God.
It's a show for women, Trey.
I swear to God. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not a show about. Well, you know, I got talking.
It's not a show about women. It's a show for women. It's like Grey's Anatomy.
Why do you think it's a show about women? It's Chicago.
It's not. I literally said it is not about women. It is for women.
Is Chicago Fire and Chicago PD and Chicago Med, are those shows for women?
I would be willing to bet 90% of those hour-long dramas that come on USA and TNT and stuff like that are for women.
Come on, guys. I don't think we should be saying that any shows are specifically for or
right.
not for
Why
women.
Why are you being a weird feminist?
I mean, come on. That's sexist.
Right.
Is that sexist?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's
for
just,
women.
No, it's, no, it's
for
not
women.
For women.
No, it's for entertainment.
Right.
For
exactly.
the masses.
Entertaining
just
for
like
who?
Us. You think we're just for guys?
Right.
I would
we're
say...
Here to, we're here to entertain the masses, whether it be men,
women,
children.
I would be
children.
Willing to say we're marketing towards guys.
No, we're not getting into that today. I don't feel like having to tank this early.
That's not even the wokest take in sports.
Okay, well,
the
wokest
take was
the
host of what was it? Get Up with Max Kellerman and Stephen A. saying
Laura Rutledge.
No, not her. It's something. Right. Yeah, she's not. Laura Rutledge isn't on there. But anyway, this woman said that.
Michelle
Donald
Beadle?
Trump was racist
oh,
for
Michelle
giving.
Okay.
No, it's
okay.
Michelle Kumar or something.
I'm trying to cut you off because I'm not talking about
what?
Politics.
That's
on
hilarious.
The show.
She said Trump was racist for giving out hamburgers at
okay.
the White House.
All right.
Is that not the dumbest
it's
thing
stupid,
you've ever heard?
But like, it's not worth mentioning.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. Good job. You moved on.
Yeah, it's way more entertaining talking about Alabama's coaching search.
It is actually because there's things going on right now
and they're falling apart.
And Tennessee folks should take a look at
Nick
it.
Saban plays chess while we play checkers.
Butch Jones to OC to absolutely crumble the Alabama dynasty.
I think the plan is working. I think it's working. Bitch, look, Butch, we're going to fire you, but Jimmy's going to get you a job down in Tuscaloosa, and when that happens, you just infiltrate the program, and
here's how you can make it right.
Take it down.
Butch Jones is not smart enough to pull that off.
I know, well,
his brain doesn't work well
I think
enough.
Butch really feels bad about what happened here, feels bad that he completely destroyed this
right,
program.
Yeah.
So he's just trying to work his magic with another team.
He's trying to help, man. I don't blame him. It's smart. It's good on him. He's still got Knoxville ties. So, you know, we'll get into that today. There's coaching stuff going on. I still can't believe you. Yeah, now you want to say that show. Like, I even talked to my father. Like, on Tuesday nights, like.
You guys just, you know, live text each other.
No,
this is
no,
us?
No, 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 no. That's pretty good, though. No, but, like, he rushes home. And he go, one day he told
to make
me,
sure
man,
you guys can catch this.
All my Chicago shows are on them one night. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes, Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD. They're all on one night. And I was like, okay. He goes, well, I don't have to move. I can just, you know, watch all these shows in one time. And I was like, okay, cool. So then it transitions to This Is Us, which is a good show. And then, you know, you can't act like, you can't knock it if you don't try it, Brandon. So
I trust Chase Moore tweeting in saying that show is garbage.
Here is a good question.
It was garbage.
Yeah. Here is a good question.
Dang it.
Not that it would be, you know, for women, but do you need a woman with you to watch this show?
Well, I hope not.
Okay. Because you watch it alone?
No.
Because you and your dad are sitting there live texting each other, This Is Us updates.
Trey gets a bottle of wine and sits there. A nice cab. Curls up with a blanket and just watches.
A nice cab.
This Is Us.
I'm watching Milo every Tuesday night, enjoying the show. Mandy Moore's in it. I don't know how the hell we got on this.
He's in his sweatpants. Big glass of red wine. Just taking in some This Is Us.
A TV dinner. The Lean Cuisine's in the microwave.
What kind of snuggie do you wear?
It's like sweatpants and a sweatshirt. Like I get all comfortable. Like last night, I was watching South Carolina Vanderbilt. I watched that whole darn game. You know, and then it is what it is. Like, it was okay.
Afterwards, you just want to unwind with a nice episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Before I go to bed. No. I've never seen an episode of that in all my life. Thank you, Ben, for knocking over anything and everything in here. No, never seen an episode of that. But, whatever. Some good music. You know what I mean? But I'm not getting into Grey's Anatomy. Ben, while you're in here, your thoughts on Tennessee basketball team? Like, overall, like, is this team peaking, you know, at the right time? Do they keep this going? I mean, do you see a loss on the horizon? I mean,
I don't see it. I don't see a loss on the horizon until, February 16th when we go to Kentucky?
Yeah.
That's the only game that I'm, like, worried about currently. I think we'll be 11-0 at that time in the SEC going into Kentucky.
South Carolina doesn't worry you in Columbia?
No. I mean, like, they've started off good, but, like, Tennessee right now is the best team in the country. And, like, I have no doubts about that in my mind. And as far as peaking too early, our guy, Will Warren, Gyrate Stats on Twitter, Gyrate Plus, he actually was telling John yesterday, we talked about it on the show, it really isn't that accurate to say a team is peaking too early. Teams that are in the top 10 to start the year typically finish in the top 10 to end the year. The only two that didn't last year finished at 12th and 13th. So
because they're so high up and then they could take a loss if they need to.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things. Like, this season is so special, I think, for Tennessee basketball and Tennessee fans in general that, you know, I think, like, Even if things don't work out in the tournament, which I don't think is a problem at all, I think the floor for this team right now is Elite Eight.
Yeah.
We'll still end up probably top 10 at the end of the season. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about peaking too early.
Well, anything can happen during the tournament. And I think the big thing with the SEC tournament this year is that with Tennessee being so good, they're going to travel so well in Nashville.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to see Tennessee fans buying up tickets now. It's not going to be where they have maybe 2,000 or 3,000 people in there, and the rest of the arena is Kentucky.
I'm planning on going to the SEC championship.
Yeah, I'll be there. I look forward to it. Yeah, and I'm glad it's in Nashville. I just don't. Look, Kentucky will take over the town, but it'll be 7,000 to 9,000 Tennessee fans in there compared to every year where it's just straight Kentucky. And the reason why it's straight Kentucky is just because, look, a lot of families save up money to go to the SEC tournament.
All that coal money.
Right.
They got to get 10 cents a day somehow.
Right. Oh, my God. And, you know, and then they're going to travel to the NCAA tournament if they don't get shipped off to the West Coast, you know. But a lot of people are Kentucky basketball fans nowadays and root for many different other football teams, you know. So that's... Just ask Drake, you know, I mean, for once, now he's an Alabama guy. He was Kentucky, now he's Alabama. So what I'm getting at is I think Tennessee's good enough now where you're going to start seeing a lot more fans on the road with him as well. You know, Auburn, South Carolina, Tennessee's got a big base in Charlotte, you know, which is not too far from Columbia. So I think, you know, I think that's probably the best part about it is too for Tennessee fans is they'll get that support on the road as well as they continue on and they look for an SEC championship. So we'll take a break, Brandon. We'll come back. We'll have Josh Vitale on from the Montgomery Advertiser. Time to talk some SEC hoops with him. Go back and forth, Auburn, Tennessee, who's standing out to him, maybe out of that, not in those two right now and going forward. Thanks, Ben Lee, for hanging out with us for a little bit. Hope he has a horrible rest of his day. It is optional. And like usual, we're on Fox Sports Knoxville. Maybe you got too much cash, yeah. It's Optional, rolling along here in this 1 o'clock hour. It's time to get into a little SEC hoops, and I'm glad this is the first time that we've had this guest on, and I'm excited. I do follow his work, and I'm excited to talk SEC basketball with him. Mr. Josh Vitale from the Montgomery Advertiser joins us now. Josh, what up, buddy? How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. Just getting right into hoops last night. You know, I got to check a little bit out of the Auburn and the A&M game last night. It seems like they put on a great performance in College Station. And the first question I'll hit you with, you know, we've seen a couple times this year where Auburn's had some down games, but they seem to bounce back, and they capitalize off a good win on Saturday. You know, what? Just how good is this Auburn basketball team right now, especially with the point guards that seem to be running the show?
It's a very good team. I don't think it's quite playing on the level of Tennessee, because there really aren't that many teams in the country playing on the level Tennessee is right now. But it is a very talented team. It's not quite the same Auburn team that, you know, won the SEC regular season or shared that with Tennessee last year. You know, it lost a leading scorer and a leading rebounder, and it's still kind of, I guess, finding its way at certain times. It hasn't really put together, I guess, its full potential. But there's a lot of potential, and I think you'll start to see this team get better and better, you know, as the SEC season goes on.
Josh, what have you seen that Bruce Pearl's done with this team? You know, Wiley was out, you know, the beginning of the year. You look at where this team at now and how they're able to pass the ball around is key to me when I watch them. They're able to spread it out. Everybody seems to be getting a little love. What have you seen Bruce Pearl do with this team compared to last year's squad that's made them potentially better for them to over the course of the rest of this season, make a potential run in the SEC tournament and especially the NCAAs?
I think Bruce is very good at putting players in their roles and making sure those players know their roles. And everyone on this Auburn team seems to know they have nine guys that play in the rotation, and they all have their roles. You know, they have the five starters, they have four guys behind them. Everyone seems to know what their place is on the roster. You know, Jared Harper and Bryce Bound are your go-to guys on offense. Austin Wiley and Anthony McMoore are splitting minutes at center, and they do different things there, so Auburn can play different matchups there. And they have a lot of guys like Malik Dunbar, Samir Dowdy, and Chuma Okeke on the wings who can score, but are used much more as kind of do-everything type guys. They facilitate, they get steals, everything kind of works together to help the team as a whole. And the games where they struggle is the games where guys start shooting out of rhythm. When they all play together and play in their roles, this team's a lot better.
When we're looking at the schedule for the Tigers, and I'm sitting here and coming off last night, there's a very big matchup on the Plains this weekend that would be a 4 o'clock tip on ESPN. Kind of surprised they didn't get the CBS Saturday game. But looking at what Kentucky's been able to do, you know, they struggled at first. Now they seem to be bouncing back a little bit. Kentucky's averaging 80 points per game. Auburn's sitting at around 84%. I mean, 84 from the field. But the main thing that stands out to me is, you know, Auburn's only allowing about 66 points per game right now and 45% field goal shooting. The biggest thing with Auburn, how are they going to be able to control, in your mind, the bigs that Kentucky brings in? This is a team that's not fully clicking yet, I don't think, but it's still a Kentucky team that's going to come in there under Calipari, and it should be a great matchup Saturday. But how do you think Auburn tries to control what Kentucky does on the wing?
I think Auburn is better equipped to do that this year than they were last year.
Good point.
And they won last year. But Auburn is a much bigger team now, with Austin Wiley back, especially. I mean, that addition alone gives them a much bigger size advantage. He's a guy who can truly defend other centers in the paint. And you talk about defense. The biggest thing Auburn does is they don't really limit teams from the field as far as, you know, shot percentage. Teams actually do shoot pretty well on them. More often than not. The thing Auburn does well is they force turnovers and they force teams to be uncomfortable. They still lead the country in turnover percentage by a large margin per KenPom. And that's what they do so well, is they get a lot of steals, they force a lot of turnovers, and they don't let teams get shots off. And so when they teams can make shots against Auburn, but Auburn limits their chances by forcing turnovers and getting out and running in transition.
The game Saturday, and this is just me being from the Southern Alabama, I understand how big it is, you know, the Auburn basketball team lately and them coming on. This game Saturday looks like to be a hot ticket down on the plains. What are the expectations now from the fans that are down there that have gotten to see this team play? Is this a team in your eyes that the fans think, okay, look, we maybe three or four losses in the conference this year. You know, we can make a run at this thing for an SEC championship. Is that on their minds right now, or is this something where this team has got to continue to grow under Bruce Pearl and hoping for that double bye SEC tournament type deal and then potentially making the run in March? Where do things stand from a fan's perspective?
I think from a fan's perspective, they're expecting this team to compete to win the SEC, get that double bye, be a high seed in the tournament. That's become the expectation, and it is kind of crazy to think about. This is my, I think, third season covering the team. My first season in 2016, they went 18-14. At that point, fans were just hoping for an NIT bid. And now it's turned into it where, you know, a game against Kentucky is not, you know, let's go for the upset opportunity. It's let's go, Auburn should win this game. We want to be there when it happens. It has changed. And I think the reality is this team is still building. It's still growing. It has to improve. I mean, it's the number 14 team in the country. It's not like it's, you know, rebuilding, but it's not playing at a top 10 level right now, and I think it has some work to do to get back to that level. But the fans' expectations are already at top 10 level, and that's the expectation at this point.
When you look around the conference, last night they played A&M. I'm sure you've seen some other good basketball from the SEC this year. Is there anybody besides Tennessee that stands out to you? Is it the Ole Miss squad? Is it South Carolina? You know, them going on the road last night, getting a nice win at Vanderbilt after being down. What would you perceive the conference to be at right now when it comes to talent with a couple of these teams, Ole Miss, South Carolina being two of the surprising ones?
I think it's, I mean, maybe as good as the conference has ever been. I mean, I think Tennessee right now is the class of the conference. But Auburn's obviously a good team. Kentucky's kind of doing what Kentucky does, where it starts a little slow and it tries to find its way, but you know Kentucky's going to be good at the end of the year with the amount of talent it has. Like you said, Ole Miss has been very good. South Carolina's been very good. LSU's been pretty good. Mississippi State had a bad loss the other night, but that's a good team. Florida's got some talent. It's a deep conference. I don't know if any of those teams will challenge Tennessee in the end, but I mean, I don't think we're going to see a team go through SEC play with, you know, only one, two, or three losses. I think, you know, this conference is going to beat itself up a little bit just because there are so many teams that have so much talent.
And talking about Tennessee just for a minute, I love the outside perspective as well. When you look at this squad and you look at the players that they have right now, where an Admiral Schofield can score 0 points in the first half versus Arkansas, but the team puts up 50-some-odd points, What are a few things that stands out regarding this Tennessee squad to you?
And just how good it is. I mean, that seems like a dumb analysis, but you know, I vote in the AP Top 25 poll this year, and I think at the start of the year I had Tennessee, I think, you know, low down in the top 10, because I thought, you know, it's pretty much the same team as last year. I'm like, that was a really good team. I think it'll be pretty good this year. But I didn't know what the ceiling was because it was returning pretty much the same core and didn't add a lot. But it's the same team that's just taken, you know, two or three significant steps forward in the offseason. You have two all-SEC-type players in Schofield and Grant Williams. It's just a really good, really well-coached, really deep team, and that's dangerous for the SEC.
How's switching sports just for a minute? How is the Gus Bus doing down at Auburn right now? Things calming down a little bit down there? You letting him do his job? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, things are still status quo. I mean, Auburn's coming off a big win in the Music City Bowl that seems to have calmed down the anger around Gus Malzahn for the time being. again, all the reports that came out in December, we don't know for sure how much of those things actually happened or not. Gus Malzahn said there was no talk of him leaving or changing his contract. So right now, things are what they are, and there's really not much to report as far as football goes, you know, with a few weeks left before signing day.
Is Auburn making a run at David Johnson? Have you heard anything on that, the wide receivers coach from Tennessee?
I've heard his name mentioned in reports. I don't know for sure. I mean, Auburn right now has a wide receivers coach in Cody Burns. Right. There's been rumors and reports that Auburn might try to move him to a different position and find a wide receivers coach. There's also been reports that Auburn is going after running back specific coaches. So as of right now, it's a lot of chatter and not a lot of, you know, real, you know, news. Gus Malzahn is very private when it comes to these things. So when Auburn has a new coach, he'll tell us.
It seems to be part of the plan down there right now on the Plains. Hey, does Auburn get the win Saturday versus Kentucky? You think they can take care of the Wildcats?
I think they can because Auburn is at home. And, you know, if this game was in Lexington, I would say Kentucky by 10. But this Auburn team is just much different and much better inside Auburn Arena. It's going to be a wild atmosphere. I think Auburn can beat Kentucky on Saturday.
That's fantastic. Josh, please tell everybody where they can follow you and your fantastic work covering the SEC and the Auburn Tigers.
You can follow me on Twitter at Josh Vitale and online at MontgomeryAdvertiser.com.
That's awesome. Josh, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. Hope you have a great weekend.
Yep, you as well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, brother. Josh Vitale from the Montgomery Advertiser bringing the energy today. That was it was good. And, you know, talking Auburn Tigers, trying to figure out what they're going to do. You got, you know, I still see down there Bryce Brown. Wiley's playing well. You know, I think Bruce has got himself a squad at the moment. If they can continue to build on it, it'll be something interesting to watch come later in the year. Look, Auburn Arena is very interesting to go play at. It's not big. It seats around 9,500. But technically, there's really just like, it's just a lower bowl. Like, if you could put Auburn's arena inside Tennessee's, and it would fit, it would just be the lower bowl.
Well, yeah, Tennessee has a top 10 venue for basketball.
I know that, but I'm saying it's neat how they put Auburn's arena together. Like, it's a cool arena. Like, there's no upper level. I guess you can call it upper level, whatever. But there's no upper deck seats, anything like that. It's all down. And you know what? They did a great job on the design. It really gives the Tigers a home court advantage when you have the student section sitting on right on top of you. Kind of reminds me of Cameron in a sense that the students are right there. So that's going to be a fun game. Saturday, 4 o'clock, it'll be if you're a Tennessee fan, you're going to attend the sold-out game versus Alabama. You should be home in time to catch the second half of the Auburn-Kentucky game if you don't get caught up in the horrible traffic. So I am interested in what's going on with Auburn football as well, and I will be for a while, probably until Gus Malzahn is fired 4 games into next season if they don't start off right.
I mean, Trey, we all know you're going to be enamored by Auburn football no matter what.
Right, exactly.
War Eagle Wallace.
I'm War Eagle Wallace. I am a big fan.
You have to. I mean, you got to cheer for your boys. You got to watch your boys and make sure, you know, like Gus isn't
okay
running the program into the ground
right.
or anything.
There's a reason why I just had Josh on. I needed to hear about my Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, you had to
get an
update. You had to get an update on your boys. That's fine.
Exactly.
I know, like, we're trying to scout out some Tennessee basketball opponents, basketball school here.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's fine. You can check up on Gus, check up on your boys.
I needed to.
See if David Johnson's going to go and help their receivers a little bit because,
right.
you know, he
we
his,
need help
his
at
boys,
Auburn.
His boys this year was working them.
Right. And Cody Burns is their wide receivers coach. Cody Burns, the former quarterback at Auburn. I think they need to go out and find somebody a little more proactive. So, hey, it's cool. I just need to check up on my Tigers. Thanks for Brandon for letting me do that, smart ass. And you know, we move on from there. I will say, though, in the SEC, at the end of the day, I think it's still Tennessee, Kentucky, Auburn, Auburn, Kentucky, however you want to put it.
It's Tennessee's league far and away, and then the other
right.
two.
Yeah. I mean, the stats that I was looking at last night blew me away. Point differential, turnover margin. offensive rebounding, free throw percentage. Tennessee leads in free throw percentage, and they're sitting there like 89%. So this is a squad that, like, if you look at like a flip side, like at Vanderbilt last night, I think they were 24 for 37 from the free throw line, and they lost by three. Like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, that's a game that they could have won. They ended up kind of just letting get away. So, I look at this, and I wanted to hear about Auburn because I think that's a team that's going to fight Tennessee for an SEC championship again. And they're getting these games. They're getting them at home. That's the other big thing. Like, they're getting these big-time games at home. Now, if I'm not mistaken, we went to Auburn, Tennessee did last year, correct, and didn't get a return trip.
I am not sure. I remember Bruce. They came here.
Okay, did they come here? Is that when Bruce got the ovation?
The only reason I think they came here is because I remember one of my buddies that goes to Auburn was in town and talking all kinds of crap, but I could be wrong on
and
that.
They won Auburn.
I mean, yeah, I remember them winning.
Right. Yeah.
I remember them winning, but I don't remember if it was here or there. I'll check on that here in a second.
That seems to make a little bit of sense. Brandon, did you watch any games last night? Should I even go to you for this?
No.
You didn't watch anything last night, did you? You watched The Office last night, didn't you?
I did. I love The Office. God bless. Who played last night? Was there any games of note?
Yeah, Auburn A&M, South Carolina Vandy, Missouri versus Alabama.
Yeah, no, there were no games of note then.
Somebody tweets in, John tweets in, we went there.
Okay.
That makes sense. Maybe I'm thinking the year before where Bruce Pearl came to
Why would they have us go there 2 years in a row?
All right, so they'll be coming here this year.
All right.
What is it?
Well, I mean, just look. If we're there this year, then they were here last year. Oh, they're not going to have us go there years in a row.
Unless you're LSU and you have to play Florida.
We might have played them twice last year, once home and home.
Right, there you go then.
Okay.
Smart Alec.
Perhaps.
Office lover.
Because I've got two scores right here. One is...
Was one the SEC tournament, though?
One's 131, and one is 128. One's 131-17, one's 128.
Okay, we played them both. We played them both. We went to Bama 2 years in a row as well, says John Eckery. So just throwing out knowledge. And it was only once. So it's what it is. That game will be interesting later on in the season. Keep an eye out on that game for Saturday between Auburn and Kentucky because they're going to knock one of each other down the pedestal a little bit. And then South Carolina will play. And then when Tennessee plays them in 2 weeks. That will probably knock South Carolina back down to reality, you would think.
No, January 2nd, location, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Of 17, which was 2 years ago.
Hold on.
All right, Ben's going to look that up. We're going to take a break here. DJ BJ spinning the tunes. We'll come back. We'll talk more anything you really want to talk about, but I want to get into some college football coaching moves. 865-546-8200. It's optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville wheeling and dealing during the break here, having a good time. Looks like they only played once. Brandon, can you pop on part-time co-host Ben Lee's microphone?
Was I not on just then?
No, you weren't.
It was in Knoxville.
You got owned. You got taken to school.
I didn't get owned.
Okay.
I literally said, I'm pretty sure it was in Knoxville. We lost. My buddy from Auburn was here.
Which y'all
someone said we were in Auburn. And I said, no.
865-546-8200. If you'd like to talk to Ben Lee, you can talk to him on this show.
That's true.
I'll let you talk to him. What is the opinion from both of y'all about Charles Kelly deciding to stay on the staff at Tennessee? Now, look, there is an option out there where another school is going to come after him. Maybe he turned down Maryland so that the talks that Alabama is going to be in contact with him work out where he goes to the Tide. You know, maybe something like that happens. Like, is is that a smart move in your opinion? To, I know it's Bama and Alabama, and I get it, but I was told he's pretty familiar with Mike Locksley, so I'm just kind of wondering your opinion. Is it good to have him back on staff now? Because now you have 11 coaches still. So now, technically, if they want to throw Charles back on the road, you got to take T off the road. That's the thing.
I mean, if T's as good a recruiter as we've been talking about, I'd say I'd want to keep T on the road. Like, still got to get somebody out of here.
But who you get? Who do you move? Do you move Winkie?
I mean, isn't the saying running backs kind of coach themselves?
I get it, but you've got to move somebody now, because now the problem is, do you have to take T off the road? Because T was on the road yesterday. So I found out yesterday around like 1 o'clock when I was going on that T was going on the road, and I put it, you know what I did? I put in my drafts on Twitter and I forgot I didn't tweet it out. So that was a problem. Then it came out later on.
And someone beat you to it. No, you hate to hear it.
No, I don't think anybody beat me to it. I should have put it out earlier. And then I called Tennessee and they're like, yeah, he's on the road. So my thought is, how big is it to get T on right now compared to getting him on after signing day, to have him start recruiting after signing day? Like there's only 3 to 4 spots out there that Tennessee can take right now.
You need him recruiting before signing day.
Well, you need him recruiting for a bunch of different
opportunities. I mean, if we're really wanting this George Pickens guy, the wide receiver that he was supposed to go after like almost immediately, if not sooner.
He's got the Hoover connect.
Like, he's got, I mean, then we need him on the road. And then, you know, if he's as good a recruiter as we've been talking about, you know, he might be able to help out with like Henry To-ho-ho-ho-to.
Yeah.
And, some of those guys.
Now, like, his DC's gone. It's been recruiting him.
You know, so, I mean.
Brandon?
I just kind of assumed that Charles Kelly was already gone, and we were just kind of like, all right, see ya. Thank you for your services.
Yeah, I thought T was already working. Thought he was already doing his thing.
T's been over at the building. You know, I've talked to T.
T's been here for a solid 24 hours, hasn't he? You know.
I've been told T's over at the building. Watching film, and
if they don't know what they're going to do, and he's not actually doing anything, there,
okay,
then this is like, even when Tennessee makes a good hire, we still have just a debacle.
Nope. I explained this last night a little bit, and I've told you all about this behind the scenes. So what they did was, is they, you know, they wanted to get T on. This was last week, and they wanted T to agree to come to Tennessee. And they didn't have a position yet for him. They said, look, we want you to commit. Here's what we're going to be able to pay you. Would you like to come aboard to Tennessee? And from what I'm told, he had to tell Jeremy that by like last Wednesday. So,
which, you know, he's here, so obviously he's
they had a gentleman's agreement for about a week, almost right at 5-6 days. And things were playing into it. Other schools did reach out. I talked about this last night on the Periscope. Other schools did reach out. Vanderbilt offered them the offensive coordinator job. Alabama was talking about a position with them. Miami reached out, went for the OC job. Georgia Tech, Louisville kind of died off a little bit once they started making some hires. So T had options. But he decided, hey, look, he said, I trust Jeremy. I want to go where my heart is. I want to go where my family, you know, is now. And it's smart. And he made the good, I think personally, he made the good choice. And now the first day he was in the office, he was talking to players, getting to know the staff, getting to know everybody. Cause a lot of coaches were on the road.
And then he was on the road.
And then here's the crazy part. You know, you never really know when you're going to go on the road. Like, you get a call like midnight saying, hey, you're going on the road at 5:30 tomorrow morning. We're pulling somebody off. You know, they're getting a flight home. It's not like in soccer. Like, a coach has to get into Knoxville, land, and then another coach can go. It's not like that. It's not like a substitution. They just have to be
on the plane home.
On the way back to Knoxville. Okay, send out the next one. Go. You can lift off now. Flight can get in the air. He is back, heading back to Knoxville.
It's like a hockey substitution.
Right, exactly.
Just on the fly.
Just clear the bench. So he just went on the road and did some recruiting to some spots that Tennessee hasn't been in yet. I talked to one recruit last night, and he had told me that, and this is a kid from the Mobile, Alabama area. His name's Chris Drain. He's a wide receiver at a Spanish Fork. Jeremy Pruitt was in to see him on Tuesday, and Jeremy told him, hey, yeah, T will be stopping by here very soon. So it looks like T, good part, is going to be hitting up that pipeline down in Mobile in the Gulf Coast where so many big-time players come out of.
All right, but
yeah,
who are we shipping out?
That's what I'm saying. Someone's going.
I mean, like,
I think, okay,
like,
okay.
I said, like, running backs, you know, it's pretty much, you know, hit this hole, run hard. You know, lower your pads.
When we come back on the other side, I'll throw out a name that I've heard that be mentioned in a job at another SEC school in the East. We'll talk about that on the other side when we come back. It's Optional. We're rolling along on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Optional. Wrapping up the first hour here. Mike Johnson will join us in the second hour. We'll talk coaching vacancies around the country. We'll talk the craziness going on at Alabama now for a second year in a row. There's a total of 12 coaches that have left the Alabama program in the last 2 years, which is an astonishing number, if you really think about it. With Alabama, it's kind of like, yeah, okay. We'll fill the spots. We're good. If 12 coaches in 2 years left, let's say Florida, South Carolina, or Tennessee, the whole town would be up in arms. Like, it'd be complete anarchy.
I mean, the team would be in shambles, I think. Like, I'm surprised you haven't seen more players kind of like say, all right, well, I think I'm going to test my waters in the transfer portal.
Hell, Penn State's got 11 in there right now.
Yeah, and they just turned over, what, the OC?
Yeah.
Like, if the entire offensive staff on a team leaves, you'd think, like, some of these guys would be like, you know, that's the coach that recruited me. That's the coach I wanted to come here for. You know, that like, it seems like everybody always has that kind of tie. And, like, but now, like, these guys at Alabama, like, no one's kind of wavering.
Can't give up.
Which stuns me.
Winning solves everything. And paydays. You know, no matter who they bring in, you're going
to
win.
I mean, that 44-16 win in the championship was awesome.
I mean, if Tennessee
that solved a whole lot of problems.
If Tennessee went to the national title and got beat by 28, like, we'd be ecstatic here. If we went to a bowl game, we'd be a little happier than we are now. So
I think
if
Tennessee went to the national championship and got beat by 28, we wouldn't
going
be exactly 14 ecstatic.
Going 14-1 is a lot better than going 5-7.
Look, let me say this. If Tennessee made it to a national championship game in the next 4 to 5 years,
the city would be ecstatic,
but
if you lose,
the place would be just absolutely so lit.
Yeah, but
I don't even know if they remember the post game.
The week after the game, if you lose, the city is essentially going to be. It's basically
that would
the week
be a
after,
moral victory.
It's basically like the week after Florida, where it rained every single day.
Yeah.
It's done, like every single time we lose to Florida, it rains for a week. That's what it would be like for if Tennessee went to a national championship and got beat by 28.
But the
I would
fact
just,
that
I would just
they
be sitting there,
there
like, oh great, yeah, we got
to
the pinnacle to
you
to
that
lose.
You can win it. If you can make it there, you can prove to yourself that we are back. We can win the championship. Going 5-7, I would rather get beat by 100 in the national title than go 5-7.
That it probably means you're going to win an SEC title as well.
Not necessarily.
Well, I know that. But
I mean, Bama didn't even
probably,
win the West. And they got to go to the playoffs.
I'm just saying, if Tennessee made a national title and they end up getting beat, I think fans
we'd be happy we were there, but it wouldn't exactly be like, oh yes.
Whoever the host city is, they would know that Tennessee fans were there. I can promise you that. So, good first hour. I had a lot of fun. Mike Johnson's going to be joining us here in hour two. We're going to continue to break down the SEC. Coaching changes. Butch Jones staying on staff at Alabama. Congrats to him. The plan is working, according to Tennessee fans. See how much that continues to move on. Coming back, second hour. Yeah, I know. It's Optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville.